Good morning and welcome to the Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center in Port Charlotte, Florida. This is a live medical talk show in which you're invited to participate. If you have a question or comment along the way, just call us at 941-206-1580 or toll free at 888-441-1580. And now here's your host of the show, Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. It's so good to be here. Thank you. We have Dr. Katzen. We have Zane.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. And we're very proud to say that this is the 70th anniversary of D-Day.
Yes. This was the largest naval invasion ever.
And Zane, you said your father was there.
My dad was, yes, he was. He landed on Utah Beach on this day 70 years ago. Don't know the exact time. From what I understand, it was between 6 in the morning and 9 in the morning. But he was part of the 9th Division, 47th Infantry and H Company. So he landed on Utah Beach.
Wow.
And he would tell me stories. You know, it's I could basically sum it up in one statement from my dad. I took him to see Saving Private Ryan.
Yes.
He cried through the whole movie. And he told me about the beginning. He said it was so realistic. It was just the way it was, the way they showed it on the movie, the way they portrayed it, that the only thing missing was the smell of gunpowder.
Oh, my goodness.
That was how good Steven Spielberg got it in Saving Private Ryan. So if you want to take some time today, you know, maybe as a tribute to our veterans and just something, you know, especially younger people who are listening, if you want to see how it was, watch the beginning of that movie.
You know, the whole movie is great. And I really feel that young people, and I'm going to make a statement, a judgment, which I don't usually like to judge, but a lot of young people don't know history. Yeah. And this is so important for our nation. And I know they're doing a lot of tributes for D-Day. And I mean, I would love to one day go to Normandy and see the tributes there in the cemetery.
The odds of getting onto the beach were darn near impossible, but the odds of getting over the wall and into St. Lo, as my dad's company went, you know, about a week later, they went into St. Lo, France. I mean, it's just, I don't see how they did it. Many, many men died on Omaha Beach.
Yes.
My father was fortunate he went on in Utah Beach because at least he had a little bit better of a chance. But there were more casualties on Omaha than there were on Utah. But he told me stories about the invasion and the training going up to it. And it's just unbelievable. And I asked him how he did it. His answer to me was, because we had to.
Because we had to. And Dr. Katzen, your father, too, wasn't he there?
Yeah, he was. He was. I'm not sure which beach he landed on, but he was there.
So we have to really pay tribute to all our soldiers who have risked their lives and their family members. It is. It's just they are heroes.
I agree with Tom Brokaw and, you know, what he says, you know, the title of his book, The Greatest Generation. They were.
They really were.
To go through the Great Depression, many, many people my dad's age, well, I lost him in 09. He would have been 84. So, you know, when you hear stories about the Depression and the people that grew up during that time, when luckily my dad's family finally ended up on a farm where they were able to grow their own food. My dad's dad was a Trans World Airlines engineer. But they ended up on a farm, and thank goodness. But he said, you know, they didn't know they were poor during the Depression growing up because everybody else was.
Right.
So, yeah.
And when you also see, you know, the History Channel just did a show about the Great Wars. And when you see in a span of 30 years, these two humongous wars.
Well, and it went on to some of the fellows who were in the Second World War who were younger wound up fighting in the Korean War as well, especially air pilots.
But if any of you out there are veterans and want to call in, please, 206-1580. You know, this is a medical show, but we're talking about our medical is not just, it's called the slippery slope of lipids and other medical issues, but our soldiers, our way of life, our history affects our health also. So if anybody wants to talk about or call in and say anything about a family member that was there at D-Day, and as that we should never, never forget our soldiers and our veterans. And that's at 206-1580. But, we pay tribute to our soldiers and to our history. And today we want to talk about some very interesting things. We have some very important things that are in the news right now. And I want everyone to stay, listen to the show. Everything we talk about can impact your life. And it's very important. So we're going to talk about today. We're going to start off, I would say, one of my previous shows, we talked about olive oil.
Right.
And olive oil is something that I just love. I love olive oil. I love it on my salad. And it has also helped me to lose weight because you just use a little bit of olive oil and it has a great flavor.
And it also is a very complicated oil.
It's
not just a simple oil.
And we've talked about the MUFA and the PUFAs, monounsaturated fatty acids and polyunsaturated fatty acids.
I got a good little Italian joke for you here that ties in with the olive oil.
The MUFA and the PUFAs?
No, before that, my best friend, one of my best friends in the world, he owns Universal Fitness, Frank Polito.
Uh-huh.
He's over there. One day there were some ladies talking at the counter about the beauty products that they use and all that. Frank's sitting there kind of looking like, oh my goodness, I got caught in the middle of two females talking about beauty products. And Frank says, I just put a little olive oil in my hair because they're talking about shampoos and conditioners. And Frank, as a joke, he said, yeah, I just put a little olive oil in my hair. That's the way we did it in the old country, you know. Pretty cool.
Well, I think I've said this before. When I was a little girl, my grandmother used to heat up a little bit of olive oil and massage it in my scalp because she wanted my hair, because it was very thin. She says, I want you to get thick hair. So she massaged it in my, boy, it felt good. Well, it's like a warm olive oil massaging your scalp.
Well, remember in Spain, where they actually grow more olives than they grow in Italy, the olive oil is used to manufacture all kinds of cosmetics.
Right.
Including perfumes.
Yeah. They've got shampoos and conditioners now with that. Yeah.
With olive oil. So, but you have to know what is the reason I'm bringing up, because this is in the news. This was an article in the journal Circulation, which is of the American Heart Association, and it was, Exporidon, it says, extra virgin olive oil could reduce your risk for atrial fibrillation. Now, we know that atrial fibrillation is a conduction problem in the heart. And what they did in this study is that the people that were on the Mediterranean diet, they gave them extra olive oil. And that study showed that it decreased your risk for atrial fibrillation. So, I just think that's another plus for olive oil.
Right. And there were 7,000, almost 7,000 people in that study. And they were followed for a period of 5 years. And those people who were on the similar diet but had olive oil added to their diet had a much lower incidence of atrial fibrillation, which is not uncommon as people get older.
So, and what they did, the other group, they had also the Mediterranean diet. So it's not like they compared, eating fast foods to eating a Mediterranean diet with olive oil. The other group of people were on a Mediterranean diet with nuts. So I think the take home message is we know that olive oil is good. It's good for you, but remember, it's still a fat. So it has a lot of calories. So as a fat, it also has, olive oil has other wonderful qualities, and those are called flavonoids.
That's correct. And there are also a lot of antioxidant chemicals in olive oil. And interestingly enough, that one of the antioxidant chemicals is called hydroxytyrosol. Well, the name is just incidental to a study that's being done now at the Texas Heart Institute, where women who have very dense breasts are being given this antioxidant hydroxytyrosol to reduce the density of their breasts. Now, what advantage is that? Well, if you do a mammogram on a patient that has very dense breasts, the sensitivity, in other words, your ability to pick up a cancer versus not, is probably reduced between 15 to 20%. If you can reduce the density of the breast, you can increase the sensitivity of the detecting a cancer in people in the mammogram. So that study is ongoing now. The early results, which were only in for 1 year, suggest that the administration of this antioxidant that's part of olive oil is working and is decreasing the density of the breast on the next mammogram.
So this is important to know. Many nuts do not have flavonoids, or polyphenols. So it's really important to know that olive oil does have this component. And that's really wonderful that it would help women with their mammogram screenings.
Well, it's just an interesting sidelight, and that's certainly not a conclusive study yet, but since you were talking about the benefits of olive oil, I thought I'd bring that up.
Does it matter what kind of olive oil you're using? I mean, the kind you pick up at the grocery store, is that good enough, or do you have to go with a boutique one or an organic one, or is it?
Well, it depends. You know, olive oil in itself is good. What you want to make sure is you have pure olive oil. You know, there's the extra virgin, and that has to do with the first pressing and if it's refined or not. But some olive oils, you have to read the label because some people will put other oils in it. Mm. So you have to make sure it's 100% olive oil. And there's different olives that have a little bit of, you know, difference in their flavor, their taste. It's kind of like wine.
And color, yeah. Too.
And color.
Yeah. See, if you look at the, if you pour some olive oil in a dish and it looks sort of green,
yeah,
that green color should tell you that it's probably at least a first press and has the majority of all the beneficial elements in it. Now, some years ago, we visited a olive grove in Spain that had been in these people's family for several hundred years. And the first words out of the owner's or the proprietor's mouth was, "Look, I don't know what you mean by extra virgin. Either you're a virgin or you're not."
Yes, he was really good.
But it's really interesting how they do this first press. The olives are put into a big vat, and a huge hydraulic piston squeezes these olives, and the juice kind of just comes out into a trench.
Right.
Or the oil or the juice, whatever.
Yeah.
And the antioxidants of olive oil are important to how you store it. If you put it out in the sun, it's going to get oxidized. If you also the type of grape, the olive, and the greener the olive, the riper the olive, the more the antioxidants. But basically, you have to make sure you have 100% olive oil because some products, they do mix other oils in them. Now, I have tried personally canola oil. And when I cook and I didn't like it, I know it's a healthy oil, but it has a different flavor to it.
Yes. I think the olive oil is a very pleasant flavor to most people.
I wish we could use peanut oil because that's the best for frying right there.
Well, yeah, because of temperatures.
See, the flash point.
You can get it hotter for cooking than you can olive
when
oil.
When I do fish or fries, man, I like to have peanut oil going.
See, one of the disadvantages of the olive oil is that it has you can't heat it up as much as you can the peanut oil.
And remember, when you heat up an oil, it can change its chemical composition. So we've talked about olive oil. So go run out, get your olive oil, put it on your salad. I like a little olive oil, a little balsamic vinegar, and a little fresh garlic.
It's good on baguettes, too.
Yes.
Well, we buy olive oil that hasn't been filtered. That's another thing that we haven't talked about. Sometimes, if you look at the bottom of the bottle, you'll see some of the sediment from the press, and we prefer that.
It tastes delicious.
Yeah, because those little bits of olive, if you shake it up, are in the oil when you put it out.
You were mentioning earlier about how olive oil is like wine. I've seen where they have olive oil tastings. They make an event out of it, just the same as they would a wine tasting.
Right, and you know, in different parts of the world, where it's like everything. Every plant, when it grows in a different type of soil, the grape is going to taste different, the olive, everything, how it's processed, in what its container is put in, all this affects. Remember, this is something organic. This is something, I'm not going to say alive, but it comes from a plant.
It's very important not to expose your olive oil to bright light. So if you're going to store it, you should store it in a dark closet or in a cabinet, or at least a room temperature cooler.
And another thing too, a lot of people will keep all their oils next to their stove. Well, guess what? Heat comes off the stove. And that also will change the chemical balance, and it'll change the taste. So that's the whole. All right, everybody, that's the whole thing about, there's so much more to talk about olive oil. We could spend a whole hour talking about olive oil. But I wanted to bring up something else that's in the news. We all know we live in Florida, which is gorgeous. We live in a warm, beautiful climate. Well, we also have our rainy seasons. And again, if anybody wants to call us at 206-1580, you're welcome to call and ask questions. As you know, in my practice at the Triana Prevention Center, we are here to try to prevent major problems, including the prevention of heart attack, stroke, diabetes. That's why we spoke about olive oil. And we want to try to keep our patients healthy. We also offer bioidentical hormone. Well, we will talk more about that on the second part of the hour. But right now we're going to talk about this virus. And it's kind of hard to pronounce, but I'm going to say it. Chikungunya. Chikungunya virus. And it's transmitted by a mosquito.
The Aedes aegypti mosquito.
And this mosquito virus was found in Africa. But now, which by the way, I did have a patient the other day goes, I'm going to, they were going to a different country. I forgot which country. And I said, do you know what I'm supposed to do? And I said, there's an incredible website. If you're traveling, the CDC website or the Center for Disease Control and Prevention has a website.
CDC.gov,
and they have travel advisories. And, for example, the information I have was just updated June the 14th, 2014, on June the 4th. I have that update. So we know that the current situation with this virus is that it has been found in the Caribbean.
And in Florida. There have been 16 cases as of yesterday.
So we need to know that this virus that's transmitted by a mosquito, you need to prevent from getting this virus. It is a virus. It's a virus that's transmitted by the mosquito. It was in Africa, Southeastern Europe, Asia, and islands in the Indian and the Pacific. And in 2013, for the first time, it was included in the Caribbean. Now, where in the Caribbean? Well, I can read. There's a whole list. And I know many people during the summer go to these different islands.
Mostly the resort islands.
The resort islands, the Dominican Republic, St. Kitts, St. Lucia, St. Martin, St. Vincent, and Grenadine, St. Martin, Puerto Rico, Martinique, Haiti, Guyana, Guadeloupe, French Guiana, British Virgin Islands, Dominica, Antigua, and Anguilla. So all these are really important to know that they have found this chikungunya virus, which is usually transmitted by the mosquito during the day. And the symptoms are, after you get bit by the mosquito, about 3 to 7 days afterwards, you get severe fever. You can get severe joint pains in the hands and feet. And other symptoms include headache, muscle pain, joint swelling, or rash.
Right, right. Now, there's also another virus that is spread by that same mosquito and spreads a disease called dengue fever. That's D-E-N-G-U-E. Now, 40% of the world's population is exposed to dengue fever. And we've had several epidemics here in this country, in Key West and in northern Florida. To date, yesterday, the Florida Department of Health put out a bulletin to warn people about dengue fever and this virus.
Chikungunya. Chikungunya.
The chikungunya disease as well, which are both carried. Both viruses are carried by the same mosquito, and there really is no treatment except for the supportive treatment. Now, dengue fever is a very serious disease. In its hemorrhagic form, there's about a 3 to 5% fatality rate. But most of the symptoms that people will get if they're bitten by a mosquito that's carrying this virus are those very similar to flu, where they have muscle aches, pains, cough, fever, etc. But in Florida now, there have been 26 cases of dengue fever reported so far this year, most of them up in Martin County, which I think is around the Cape.
So it's very important that as of May, also in June, over 100 cases have been reported of chikungunya virus. And so if you get what you may think is the flu, you need to address this with your doctor. It's very important. There is no antiviral medicine to treat this virus.
And people are working on a vaccine for dengue fever because it's so common in the rest of the world. But the message is that if you're going to be traveling, especially in the Caribbean or in Africa this summer, you should protect yourself with mosquito repellent and clothing.
And that's really important. The clothing, you need to have long sleeve clothing, and you need to use the CDC recommends a repellent that has 20% DEET. D-E-E-T. And that 20% DEET is found in Off, Cutter, Sawyer, and Ultrathon.
And it's especially, you should be putting this stuff on when you get up in the morning before you go out, because these mosquitoes tend to be not so nocturnal, but during the day.
Now, as we all know, there are also things you can do in your yard to prevent mosquitoes, where we try to eliminate standing water in pots or plants. They just need a little, mosquitoes just need a puddle of water. Now, there are no medicines to treat this chikungunya, but there are medicines to reduce fever and pain. Usually, patients will feel better in a week. Some patients may develop longer-term joint pain. And the people, again, who are at risk, newborns, people who have poor immune systems, adults who are much older and have severe medical conditions, are also at risk. It, according to the CDC, deaths are rare. So right now, let's talk about, as we said before, the most important thing is prevention. Now, you know, prevent to get this disease. So try to stay indoors, air conditioning, mosquito repellents, long sleeves. Also, you can wear permethrin-treated clothing, and that will help also. Some of these mosquitoes can, if the clothing isn't adequate enough, they can bite through the clothing.
Yes, yes, that's for sure.
And try to get rid of all the empty standing water. We need to know that if you're traveling, take a moment, go on the CDC website, look to see, you know, there's other health alerts out there. There's polio in Saudi Arabia, in Syria. There, you know, there's other diseases out there that are we need to look at and get the travel advisory.
Yes, we don't really appreciate how healthy we are here from infectious disease and how through this century, how we've eliminated many communicative diseases like polio.
So that's really important. So if you're going to travel and you have questions about where you're going to travel, look it up on the CDC. They keep the CDC website, cdc.gov. And being that we are in Florida and we do have mosquitoes, we need to be always, we need to watch out. You know, mosquitoes, some people are very allergic to mosquitoes and they can get an infection from it where they scratch. And we know that these viruses can also be transmitted. So we are now going to take our break.
You're listening to The Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues, brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center in Port Charlotte. We encourage you to visit their new website, which is TrianaPreventionCenter.com. That's T-R-I-A-N-A Prevention Center, all one word, .com, to catch up on previous shows. There is an archive going back to the beginning of the show covering a wide variety of topics. Dr. Triana is accepting new patients currently and will ask the doctor to give her phone number out in just a little bit. In the meantime, if you'd like to call this program, our numbers are 941-206-1580 and toll free at 888-441-1580. You can also follow along on the webcam at WCCFAM.com. Just click on the link on the homepage and that will take you right to our webcam. And now back to Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
So we've been talking today about olive oil. Spoken today about the chikungunya virus. And just as an update, I'm sticking to my program of the low-carb diet. I'm in there with all my patients and telling them, I know it's hard. I'm sticking to it. This is my sixth week of very low-carb. I call it the lean and green diet. So I am giving you an update. I'm sticking to it. I will tell you it's hard, especially when you go out to dinner. One of the first things that people do is, you know, you go to a restaurant. What do they put on the table? Bread. I'm not eating any of the bread. I even went to Carrabba's and they put bread, the olive oil, which I love. What I do is I use a little bit of the olive oil and the vinegar, balsamic vinegar, on my salad to keep it lean and green. And I didn't eat any of the bread. So everyone out there, if you have any stories, are you and if you're in this with me in the low carb program of trying to lose weight, give me a call. Maybe you can give me some tips.
I got a quick recipe for you.
What?
It's you take a flank steak, you put it in a Ziploc bag, and you put in Worcestershire sauce. And your favorite hot sauce. I happen to like the big one? McElhenney's Tabasco.
Uh-huh.
A little bit of that and some steak seasoning too, and just let it sit in there overnight the night before. Grill it, blacken it on both sides, a little bit medium rare in the middle or medium well. And serve that with some mixed greens and, you know, your favorite olive oil. and some red wine vinegar or balsamic.
You know, that's good. I also found a way that I took, that sounds good, cauliflower. I took cauliflower, put a little bit of spices on it, some garlic, a little bit of olive oil, and I put it in the oven, and it roasted, and it was delicious. Also, eggplant.
Oh,
eggplant
wow.
is really good. Now, I like the eggplant. I eat the whole thing. You know, I don't peel my eggplant. Mm-hmm. I eat the skin and everything, and it's delicious.
There's a lot of flavor in the skin. There really is.
There really is. So I know some people like to peel their eggplant. I don't. You know, eggplant parmesan, unfortunately, they bread it and fry it. But if you roast or bake it in the oven, some spices, a little bit of olive oil. Oh, it's delicious.
Actually, we have one of our little dogs is being very sympathetic to Dr. Triana because they are eating cauliflower.
Nice.
Yes, I didn't even know dogs liked cauliflower.
Did you know you can make pizza out of cauliflower? I'm not kidding you. We asked Jennifer on the way out. Jennifer, who works here, she's one of our sales reps. Her daughter came up with this pizza where they took the cauliflower, put it in a food processor.
Okay.
Then pressed that mixture into a pie pan. That's your crust right there. I don't think they mixed it with anything. I asked her, did you put any egg in there? No, you press that into a pie pan and bake that in the oven first. Then you put your sauce on and whatever toppings you like and then bake it again. Just so, yeah,
oh,
that's what she
goodness.
Told me.
Well, the cauliflower is
amazing.
Very good. And we got some kale seeds. Because we grew kale, now we're going to grow kale again. And again, if you could start your own garden, oh my goodness, the taste difference is amazing. Amazing. So everyone out there, because I know my patients are coming in, they say, oh, I'm trying to be helpful. I'm in there with you. So anyone out there, who needs help or wants to give us a call about this, we're here. And the summers are hard because of the fact that, for me, we go out to dinner. So I am trying to be as 110% as possible, and I'm sticking to it.
Right.
Lean and green.
Wow, that's a good plan.
Lean and green. And you just have to, you can pick out, and you can decide, and you can tell, you can still go out, but you have to be careful. And remember, portions are very important. Portions. Just because you're going out doesn't mean you can eat huge.
You know Stephanie, right? Todd's wife.
Yes.
Steph. She taught me the salad years and years ago when we first became friends. You know, I actually introduced Todd to Steph way back. But she came to my house and made this salad, and Todd was there and everything, and she made this big dinner. And she put strawberries in her salad in place of tomatoes. Just, you know, and it was the best salad I ever had. Never heard of that before.
Well, yes, but remember, on the lean and green, low carb, at this point, it's no fruit, which turns into sugar, okay. Which is a carb. Remember, what are your carbs? Potato, rice, corn, peas turn into sugar. You have some carbs in your green vegetables, but usually you don't absorb it as much because they have a lot of fiber. So anything that's pasta turns into sugar. It's a carbohydrate. Potato, rice, as I said.
Fruit.
Fruit turns into sugar. And sugar turns into sugar.
Yeah.
So.
And even milk.
And milk. Milk also has lactose, which is a sugar. So, especially if you're trying to lose weight or if you are, the most important thing is to learn to read your labels. And we've discussed that before. It's really, really important.
I'm depressed. I just can't drink beer anymore. That's all there is to that.
Well, alcohol, yes.
Right.
I know there's a lot of supplements that are being touted on the internet and on, I'm not going to mention any TV shows, but on some TV shows. But the bottom line is look at your diet, read your label, and also exercise. That's very important. So we are going to talk about one of our topics today is men developing breast.
Right. Well, listen up, ladies and men. As men get older and their testosterone level drops off, the estrogen, which they produce on a regular basis, gets to be dominant. And when estrogen gets, when the estrogen and progesterone get kind of out of balance, men develop breasts. Now, the other entity where men develop breasts is when somebody has liver disease, either from hepatitis or from excessive consumption of alcohol. The liver detoxifies the estrogen that we have normally that men have normally circulating to keep the estrogen level low. So men, older men, frequently will get breasts, and it'll be annoying to them, and for this problem. In studying hormones, it's really interesting that almost every hormone that's produced by a woman is also produced by a man, including progesterone and estrogen. And remember also that testosterone, as a male hormone, if it's in X, will convert to estrogen.
So it's very important to know and to check your levels in your blood.
Right. So if man, or if you're a woman and your husband or significant other is developing a larger breast, particularly about the nipple and the areola, the color portion of the breast, then it might be important for them to have an analysis of how much estrogen and how much progesterone they have circulating, and to have some, and to have a physician prescribe to them a hormone to get things back in balance. Now, the hormone that counteracts the activity of the estrogen is progesterone.
But also, one of the supplements that is used is zinc.
Right, right. Because
zinc citrate
blocks the conversion of testosterone to estrogen in the body. If, for instance, if you go take, if a patient just finds a way, let's say, to get testosterone from somebody or some source and keeps on taking it, if that patient's blood level goes up over a certain amount, the body naturally convert testosterone to estrogen. And zinc citrate tablets will prevent the majority conversion.
So it's real important to know also if, for example, at the Trion Prevention Center, when someone's in and has breast or they're concerned and they have low testosterone symptoms, again, those symptoms are decreased libido, decreased muscle mass, maybe developing breast.
Weakness.
Frailty.
And actually, osteoporosis in men is too.
Osteoporosis. These are all, and women too, are signs of low testosterone in men. And we, at the Triana Prevention Center, we check the levels. Not only check because there's the total testosterone and
free testosterone. Now, testosterone circulates through the body and bound to a globulin, a protein that transports this testosterone-bound form. The body can't use that. There's only about 2 or 3% of the circulating testosterone that's free, and the free testosterone is what you can use.
Now, remember, ladies, and we were talking about this before, too, testosterone is a hormone that you also have and is very important for your well-being. So your well-being includes your hormones, and that's very important.
Yes. Now let's get back to what can we do about men who are developing breasts. The most common reason for men to develop breasts is what we call estrogen dependence. In other words, their testosterone falls down, their estrogen goes up, and progesterone is another sex hormone that can be administered, and administration of progesterone will tend to reduce the size of the breast.
So this really important, again, is checking your levels, checking your testosterone. And we know that we do a test at the Triana Prevention Center where it checks 22 tests. And one of those is testosterone-free, testosterone, total testosterone, estradiol, three types of estrogen in your body. And it's important for men. We also check the DHEA, which is also a precursor in the way it's like, again, as we had said before, it's an estra.
Right. And the most fascinating to me is that almost the men and women all producing the same chemicals. It's the balance of these chemicals that separate men from women.
And it's very important to know that we age, that balance changes. And if we want to go ahead and help keep our well-being, our hormone balance, we check those levels and we try to go ahead and we adjust those levels to a physiological level. There's been a lot of myths out there about using hormones because before, huge dosages were given out without any monitoring. Do that. I explained to a patient, when you go to the gas station, how do you know if you need gas or not? You look at your gauge, right? Isn't the gauge say low, high, medium? Well, how are we going to gauge your hormones in your body? We have to take this, take that, and just fling it at you. We need to know levels.
That's correct. That's correct, especially in this situation. I mean, if a man's developing, you can look at him and say, well, maybe his estrogen is high and his testosterone is low. But unless you measure it, you have no way of knowing for sure. Could be some other reasons.
See, and all this time I thought mine were because I did so many push-ups.
No. Well, wait a minute.
That's a different thing. No, I know.
I'm talking about your pecs.
Yeah, then. That's pecs.
That's the muscles. We're talking about breast tissue. Yeah. And Dr. Katzen, talking about men with breast tissue, men can also develop breast cancer.
Of course. About one, they say somewhere between 1 in 20, slightly more, depending on which series you're looking at, of breast cancers are in men. And in men, breast cancer is a very difficult thing to treat.
Now, so what are the signs, again, of low testosterone? And in men, we know if they are fatigued, they have no interest in sex, they have problems with erectile dysfunction, they're losing muscle mass. Also, testosterone's important for men and women for brain function.
That's correct. And also the addition of body fat.
Right.
And that's a very important thing because not only are the breasts getting bigger, men get estrogen dependent, but their redistribution of body fat towards the hips. And
the belly, fat.
Which is the most dangerous type.
Right.
Yes, the belly fat is very important in women. We talked about also the importance of testosterone. I talked about this book by Dr. Malpin. It's called The Female Secret Hormone, How Testosterone Replacement Can Change Your Life. Because, yes, women, it is very important. Testosterone is important in your well-being also. And we want to make clear that this is based on research, science, important. Are you low on the gas in your tank?
That's right. The interesting thing about all these hormones is that they're so chemically related, and such a little difference makes a big difference in their physiologic effect. For instance, the progesterone is the precursor for both estrogen and for testosterone.
And we know also that in both men and women who have all these hormones, progesterone, testosterone, and the estrogen, that balance changes, as we said, after you age. So men also have, as they get older, that balance changes, and in women too. And if we want to stay vital, we need to balance out those hormones so that there is promotion of well-being and health. Now, I tell patients, I cannot give you, there is no man who's going to walk in the door and I'm going to give him testosterone to achieve an adequate level and you can't just do that and then say you're going to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. That doesn't work that way. You still have to have, again, the cornerstone, diet, exercise, lifestyle. You can't be smoking. You have to limit your alcohol intake. You have to watch your diet. You have to exercise. This is all together with the balancing of the hormones.
Don't you think most men who will come to you will, with some kind of a complaint are more concerned about their functioning as a man, like their erection, ED, or some kind of athletic activity that they like to do and they can't anymore?
Yes. If they're too tired, again, we start off with a complete examination, which also includes history, physical, at the Trionet Prevention Center. So if any of you out there feel you have any of these problems, please call us at 625-1990. Make an appointment. Come and see me. We can really help you. I'm helping so many men and women. It's such a pleasure to see someone say, you know what, Dr. Triana, I have more energy. I can now, you know, play the golf game I used to play.
Well, that's
like
wonderful.
You were saying, I am interested in sex. And women too will say, I am more interested in sex when their hormones are in balance. And in fact, they will say, as they get older, one of the questions we ask them, are you having decreased ability to have an orgasm? This is all important. All their bodies, the nerves, the tissues, are all affected by our hormones.
That's right.
So if you're having any of these issues, it's very important that you get your levels checked. You know, everybody knows that we check your thyroid, so we have to check your other hormone levels too.
How many people come to you and say, they come in and see you and they say, Dr. Triana, I feel strong, I feel great. Do I really need my lipids checked?
Well, no, because remember, again, the lipids is an asymptomatic. Well, yeah. You don't feel high cholesterol. Well, you feel it if you have a stroke or heart attack. So you don't feel high cholesterol. And many, many things you don't feel until the end result. For example, most patients don't feel high blood pressure. They have no symptoms. You know, some people, they have headaches, they have maybe have blurry vision, but they don't get the symptom until the end result, which is the stroke.
Hypertension is called the silent killer.
It's a silent killer. And the same thing with your hormones. You may not feel that you're getting osteoporosis, that your bones are becoming weak. You may not feel that as time progresses, you may not have an interest in sex. Very interesting. Dr. Maupin talks about in both women and men, many people will end up developing because they don't realize that there's an organic reason, a hormonal reason for what's called a sexless relationship. Well, sex is very important for your human well-being, for your intimacy, for your wanting to feel attached to another person. So the sexless relationship can evolve as one or both of the people in the relationship have no more interest in sex, whether it be from hormones, whether it be from body image, whether it be from the different medications they're on.
Right. A lot of the medicines that people will put on after they have a heart attack, especially men, will keep them from performing.
And or not even interested. Diabetes is also, not only does diabetes affect your blood vessels at your heart, but they affect your blood vessels in your penis, in your vagina, in your feet. It affects your nerves, too. We know that diabetics, you see that all the time, peripheral neuropathy, the pins and needles, or people don't feel their toes like they used to. Well, that also is important in your genital area, in your erotic zones, where you don't have the same feeling. And therefore, a lot of couples will say, well, you know, I don't really care. I don't feel as much. Well, this is also affected by their disease state, but also affected by their hormones. So we're trying to put you in a physiological state where you are like when you were below 40 years of age.
Yeah, well, you can't change the motor, but you can make it run smoother.
I like that.
So that's really important. And I think that the take-home message is, number one, we use bioidentical hormones. Again, a bioidentical hormone does not mean you have to get a cream only. There are bioidentical hormones that are given in, that are FDA approved, that are given in patches or injections. We need to know bioidentical. What does that mean? It is a hormone that's been, it is the same chemical as that your body produced.
Yes. There's a lot of product on the market that is supposed to stimulate the production of one hormone or another, testosterone, estrogen, whatever. But those products are not the hormone. They're designed to, quote, stimulate the hormone, and they're usually, by the FDA, considered a food product.
Right, like DHEA.
And that's not really what Dr. Triana delivers to her
patients. They're expensive on top of that.
Right, they are expensive. Well, the hormones are expensive too, but at least you're getting something.
And you're getting, you know, when I have a man who is on testosterone or a woman who's on estrogen or they need other type of hormones balance, we use bioidentical. In other words, they are synthetically made, which all bioidentical hormones are, but they are what your body produces. So if you have any questions or if you want to make an appointment, our phone number is 941-625-1990. Thank you, Zane. Thank you, Dr. Katzen. Remember, this is Dr. Elizabeth Triana at the Triana Prevention Center. The show is A Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues. We want to keep you from going down that slippery slope. Come see me. I will help you. I will help you to stay healthy.